Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And Dave, one of the most controversial programs that we have aired to date is the one on global warming. I could not believe it. We got a lot of negative press on that one. There were a lot of folks who said, you guys are just a bunch of ignoramuses, and in so many words, and a lot of different words, they were not friendly towards this program.
Yeah, they used some big words that we didn't understand.
Yeah. That's right. So I've got some more material on global warming. Just want to share it with you. This article comes from Newsweek, April 28th, 1975. Let me just quote this. There are ominous signs that the Earth's weather patterns have begun to change dramatically, and that these changes may portend a drastic decline in food production, with serious political implications for just about every nation on Earth. The drop in food output could begin quite soon, perhaps only 10 years from now. The evidence in support of these predictions has now begun to accumulate so massively that meteorologists are hard-pressed to keep up with it. To the layman, the relatively small changes in temperature and sunshine can be highly misleading. Reed Bryson of the University of Wisconsin points out that the Earth's average temperature during the Great Ice Ages was only about 7 degrees lower than during its warmest eras, and that the present decline in temperatures has taken the planet about a sixth of the way toward the Ice Age average. The sky! I do believe it's falling!
That was 1975.
That was 1975.
We actually, as a people, responded and reversed that, I think.
Well, no. In the Washington Post, 1972, this is Washington Post, here's another one. We simply cannot afford to gamble. We cannot risk inaction. The scientists who disagree are acting irresponsibly. That was the email that I just got. I just got that email. You're acting irresponsibly. The indications that our climate can soon change for the worse are too strong to be reasonably ignored. Folks, weeks after the Kyoto Protocol came out, Kashmir suffered the highest snowfall in 30 years. Over 150 folks were killed. Mumbai recorded the lowest temperature in 40 years. And you know what's funny is, and we've said this before, the models that they've constructed that try to tell us what's going to happen in the next 100 years, these models that they create differ by 400%, which means they are statistically meaningless. Even this guy who did the, who got the Nobel Prize for modeling, this guy says we move from more or less plausible but really arbitrary assumptions to elegantly demonstrated but irrelevant conclusions. This guy is Wassily Lantief or whatever his name is. Anyway, what do we got here, Dave? What do we got here? Oh, here's the Moscow News. It's MozNews.com. Came out just about February 6th. This is about a month ago, all right? This is really recent stuff, all right? Here's another group of scientists in Russia. Russian scientists predict cooling starting 2012. By 2035, the sun's radiation will reach its minimum. But what do they know? They lost the Cold War. What do they know about global cooling? The Russians lost the Cold War.
Now they said the sun's radiation. So are we doing that? Driving our SUVs, are we decreasing the sun's radiation by driving SUVs?
That's not the SUVs. No, that's the sun. That's the S-U-N.
Oh, so that would be something God was doing.
Yeah, they just got the V upside down. It's the S-U-N.
Okay. Yeah. So God is kind of turning down the sun with the dimmer switch, and that's our problem.
That's our problem. Again, God is in control of this thing, and that's our problem. So I guess, you know, if everything's going to be cooling down by 2012, Dave, I think I better be driving an SUV. I'm getting rid of the mopeds.
I think that's your responsibility as a citizen of Earth to put out more carbon dioxide
gas,
to create a greenhouse effect to protect us from an ever-decreasing output of the sun.
Folks, it's time to get those CO2 enhancers on your SUVs. And you heard it on Generations. Coming up next, global warming. Or was that global cooling?
Whichever it is, we can't afford to take a chance.
When we get back on Generations.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Today's program, Global Warming, or was that Global Cooling? My name's Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner in studio with us, and Dave, we are a couple of scientists. Our background is science, and yet we've got a really bad epistemology working today, and it's based on empiricism. Let's just define empiricism. Empiricism is having ultimate belief and trust in what we see, hear, taste, feel, etc. We trust what we see, and more directly, we trust what we interpret to be what we have seen. So this is what science is, and science is the epistemological authority today. It's telling people what to believe, and these people believe it, lock, stock, and barrel. And when there's somebody out there that says, you know what, I doubt if that emperor is wearing clothes, they get upset.
Yeah, science deals with the physical universe because that's what you can see and touch and smell and taste that you can bring in through your senses, a physical universe. But it doesn't do a very good job in things that we experience but we can't measure. For instance, does science tell us if we're in love? Now, there are some people who will say, well, we can measure some hormones or something, but that's not really all that there is to love. And yet we accept that there's this thing called love, and science can't really address it. But then we think that science can answer all the questions of truth.
Oh, science is very limited, and people have a hard time now distinguishing between science and pseudoscience. I mean, Dave, you know it's one thing to drop something 100 times and note that mass seems to attract other mass to, you know, the gravitational constant times M2 over R squared. Okay, it's one thing to say, okay, I've established that with a probability of 99% because I've done it 100 times. That's one thing, and that's science. But it's completely different to look at a rock and tell everybody what happened 4,325,000,000 years ago. It's laughable to say that those are the same things. Those aren't the same things. That's quite another thing to look at 600 factors that might cause global warming and then tell everybody what's going to happen to the world in 100 years. Everybody, things are going to come to an end as we know it in 100 years because I have looked at 600 factors and I can project what's going to happen 100 years from now. And yet people are forced to believe these high priests. These high priests come out in their white lab coats and they demand our obeisance.
Well, and they have in the past given us some very good extensions to knowledge. They have given us the basis for technology. Now, technology, by the way, does operate in the world of true science. It does work with induction and deduction, and it does prove things. That's why we have products that work. However, we're not talking about that science that leads to technology. We're talking about that science that leads to government grants.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about real science versus pseudoscience versus the emperor's new clothes kind of science, which is what we get with modern environmentalism, macroevolutionary theories, which have been as bogus as you can possibly imagine. We've talked about those on this program before. But you know what? Real science is induction. It's induction. It's observation. And then, after a number of repeated observations, we establish a probability that this will reoccur. Now, therefore, gravity and real science is based in induction, but it's also based in humility and a trust in God's orderly universe. Ultimately, real science has got to be founded on the assumption that God created the earth and he established the earth with order. And, of course, this is what the greatest scientists that ever lived really believed. Guys like Bacon and Newton and Pascal, these guys believed in God. Today, the modern scientists are largely atheists or highly materialistic and naturalistic in their worldview. They don't believe in supernaturalism.
In fact, they don't believe there are some things that are not knowable. They believe that everything can be known if you can just devise the right experiment, if you can just gather the right data. Of course, they're not doing that with, say, evolution. They have no experimental data, but they believe that everything can be knowable. And, of course, that is a presupposition that, well, how would you know if everything is knowable? What experiment would you have to prove that?
Well, man wants to believe that he is the source of his own truth, and God isn't going to tell him what to believe about his world and about his existence. Man assumes that he is the high priest determining what is truth and what is ethical, what is right. This is where modern man begins. He does not begin with divine revelation because He doesn't need God, and he doesn't need divine revelation. Dave, this is nothing more or less than pride. And here's the other thing. Let's switch now from truth or epistemology to metaphysics or reality. What does man believe about his world? Most certainly, he does not believe that God is in control. He thinks that man is in control, and man is going to save his world. I mean, people really believe this sort of thing. There's been a whole bunch of movies come out that are sort of the apocalyptic movie. I've seen a couple of them. You've probably seen one or two of them. But there's a movie about how this ice age descends on New York City. I think it was Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow.
Right. And then you have The Core, the movie The Core. We saw this last week. This is very interesting. This movie is predicated on a story where the Earth's core, all right, the core of this big globe comes to a screeching halt. It is the magnetic core that, as it spins, establishes the electromagnetic field for the Earth. Well, this thing comes to a screeching halt, and here's what happens. They call 40 of the most brilliant scientists in the world together in the same room, and the government pays for, sponsors, some kind of a program, okay, that will save the whole Earth. This is utterly ridiculous. But here's what everybody is saying about their reality. They're saying, okay, this is all that exists. God is distant. He doesn't have any contact with his world. He hasn't created it, and he certainly doesn't have any providential control of this world. And if man is going to survive as a species, then we are going to have to take total control over our planet. We're going to, if some meteorite is coming towards the Earth, we're going to get on some rocket ship and we'll launch some nukes into that meteorite. Man assumes that he is in control. And ultimately what they're assuming is that we are the victim of unintelligent brute chance, all right? But somehow we can overcome unintelligent brute chance, which is sort of silly, because why in the world should we take control of brute chance if it's brute chance that's controlling this entire universe? And if we are the product of brute chance, then why in the world should we try to short-circuit brute chance? And the other thing is, why in the world should we survive as a species? I'm still trying to figure out that one.
Well, it's interesting that people think that we can affect God's creation so much. I know there's people think that George Bush actually personally steered Hurricane Katrina to a black population. So
yeah,
maybe they think we have this great influence over things that we know nothing about.
Well, the assumption, of course, is that man is his own savior. Man has got to be in total sovereign control of his world, and God isn't. See, this begins with a fear of man, the fear of science, the fear of the state, and rejects the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, which is the
fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord, yeah. So they don't want to fear God. They don't want to believe that God is in total control of this universe. And they want to believe and they want to trust in science and the state. And whenever the state is empowered and people trust in everything except for the living God, man corrupts himself. He tyrannizes people and he destroys the civilizations. You see this happen again and again. You see it happens with Babel. You see it happen with Rome, with the Mayas and the Aztecs. They advance a little bit in science, as we have done, and they eventually corrupted themselves with that science and, of course, with the growth of the state. And then God destroys their civilization. Well, this is exactly what's happening today.
Yeah, it seems like the more we know about nature, the more tyrannical man wants to become. They want to use that knowledge in order to oppress the fellow neighbor. We no longer fear God, but we do fear the SUV. And so we're going to probably sometime in this country's history, we're going to pass laws against vehicles that can haul lots of people and families and stuff because I don't have one.
Yeah, you don't really have a reason, but the state is in control and the state knows better, so the state's going to try to save you in its own stupid way, and in their process, the state will destroy human civilization. But let's look at this from a biblical perspective. Number one, people are really concerned about their survival. And Dave, I think that is legitimate. It's legitimate to be concerned about your own physical and I hope also spiritual salvation. Some people are concerned about the extinction of human beings. They know that the world labors, that species go extinct, and this is a bad thing. I agree with that. They think that a wayward meteorite could destroy the world. Now, I don't know about that, but wicked and unregenerate men have their hands on buttons that could destroy thousands of cities and millions of people. There are people today that have control over nuclear weaponry that could destroy 60, 70, 80% of the world's population. I don't think they'd destroy the whole world, but they can most certainly destroy a lot of the world. And people are concerned about this. They have a right to be concerned about this. But here's the issue, Dave. Here's the issue. They have the wrong worldview about it. They trust in men. They're still trusting the wicked men who have their hands on the buttons. These are not gods. These are sinful men. These are mortal men. These are men who make mistakes about science and make mistakes that are political mistakes that wipe out hundreds of millions of people. Hey, we've done it before, folks. All right? I'm not just speaking without records here. We've got historical record of stupid, wicked men who destroy 6 million people in labor camps in Germany or the Soviet Union. This kind of thing has happened before. So men are not the ones to trust. And what does the Word of God say? Some put their trust in chariots, some in horses, but we put our trust in the Lord our God. We as Christians, above all people, Dave, need to have trust in God. We need to believe that God is the source of this reality and that God has control over every man whose hand is on that button. We got to believe that God is in control over every flying meteorite and over the core of the earth. God's in control of these things. If our worldview doesn't begin with that, if that scientist's worldview up in the Kyoto Treaty doesn't begin with God's sovereign and God's law is right, then he's got the wrong worldview as he sets out to do science. Now, we're not saying that because God's sovereign, we're not responsible. We're not saying that at all. And some people have taken me wrongly on this program. What we're saying is God is sovereign over reality, but at the same time, he's given us a law. And we ought to obey that law. And that law is sufficient to govern our earth. It's not as if God was up in heaven saying, you know what, I'm giving them a law to figure out how to control their populations in their earth such that things don't go out of control, but I really don't know what kind of law to give them. I mean, they could screw up this earth, and I would never know what kind of law to give them to properly control the sorts of things that are happening on this earth. No, God is smarter than that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to believe that if the omniscient God, the all-knowing God who created heaven and earth, knew something about the people he created and the earth he created. He knows how resilient the earth is. He knows the people he's created. And he knows, he has the wisdom to give us the law in his 66 books to properly govern his globe. So let's believe God is sovereign. And let's accept his law. I guess one of my beefs, Dave, is that there are just a lot of scientists out there that come out of the laboratory. There are a lot of politicians that come out of the committee rooms, and they don't start with the law of God. They don't talk about property rights given to us by God in the Eighth Commandment and all the way through Exodus chapters 21, 22, and 23. They don't look at God's law, and they don't say, well, this is what God has said as to how to govern economies, and we're going to start with that. You rarely hear even a Christian speak about God's property rights that he has given us in his book.
It's funny, though. You hear King Solomon connect ethics, that is what's right and what's wrong, God's law, and epistemology all the time. That is what we believe, what is truth. Proverbs 3:5, for instance, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In other words, you think you're wise, but I'm wiser. Trust my law, and I'm going to direct your paths. I'm going to control the outcome. God's providence to us is directly influenced by how we obey his law. We may not see the connection, but God, who is almighty and all-knowing, says there is a connection.
Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust in his sovereignty. Trust that he can control the outcome, but also obey. Obey his laws. Take his laws as the right way to govern your world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just that simple. And yet, folks, we have a lack of trust in God's revealed word as the source of truth and ethics. What we have with modern science is the humanist dream that puts man's destiny in his own hands. In the ultimate sense, if you have any question about this, read the Humanist Manifesto, 1 and or 2. Either one, read the Humanist Manifestos. This is the worldview that is believed by 98% of modern society. We have a desire to establish our own truth, to lay out our own laws, to reject all of God's laws. We want to put all solutions in the hands of government, deify the state, condemn private property, create tyranny. Folks, humanists have been doing this sort of thing ever since Adam fell in the garden and Nimrod was building big towers. This is the heart of every man, a desire to be as God. But it is only when we bow the knee to God and say, God, you can be God. You can take over, and I'm going to believe that your truth is my truth, and your laws are my laws, and your salvation is my salvation. It's only at that point where you will be saved from your sins. And I believe this is how civilizations are saved too. This is how civilizations are saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, and I'd like to invite you to get a free magazine. You can get it from my website. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on, you guessed it, free news magazine. And we'll send you a free quarterly news magazine from our ministry. You can interact with the program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com. That's host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.